Hello, this is Brian Madden on Monday, April 3rd, 2006. You're listening to Brian Madden Live. Brian Madden Live is an internet audio show about Citrix, terminal server, server-based computing, and thin client computing technologies. And I guess we could throw application virtualization into that, since that seems to be what all the vendors want to do, is to jump onto that virtualization bandwagon. Well, in today's show, it's exciting for us because this marks the return to podcasting after about a six-month break on our part. So what we'd like to do in today's show is to talk about our podcast and to talk about what we want to achieve with the podcast and how we want to do this. After that, we'll talk about the industry and sort of do a current state as far as where we are in the industry, where Citrix is, where Microsoft is, where the other vendors are, and what is the state of the Windows server-based computing industry today. And finally, we'll wrap up today's show with a preview of BriForm. BriForm 2006 is our company's event, our independent conference, which takes place next week, less than 7 days from now, in Washington, D.C. So let's first start off and talk about why podcasting and why Citrix podcasting. I have to tell you that personally, I am absolutely addicted to podcasts, and I only jumped on this bandwagon maybe about a year ago, and I have to tell you, I probably listened to, I'm going to guess, an hour to an hour and a half of podcast content every single day. And in my case, I work from home, so I don't even have a car to listen to these two in my commute. But last summer, you know, we really wanted to start a Citrix-related podcast. And I always felt there's a lot of really interesting information in our industry. There's lots of really fascinating people and interesting solutions. And we're always meeting all sorts of different people at Pub Forum and Bri Forum and I Forum and all these different events. And so we thought that a Citrix podcast would actually be pretty cool. Now, I had no experience at all. This was last summer. I had no experience in creating podcasts or audio recording or anything at all, really. All of my experience is in IT. So I did some research and did some Google searches, and I kind of found some equipment, and we bought the equipment we needed to do to make a podcast. And so I got a microphone and a little USB audio capture card and some software and all sorts of stuff. And we made five podcasts in the August, September, October timeframe of last year. And frankly, I was thinking that we would do podcasts a lot more often than that. I was thinking we were going to do them, I don't know, weekly or every other week or something like that. Well, the problem was, what we really ran into is these podcasts took forever for us to edit. They just took forever. So it was very easy to actually record the podcasts. But then once I recorded them, I ended up with all this sort of raw content that I had to edit and put together. So I had to sort of multi-mix the tracks down and edit them and take out stuff here and there and mix in the theme music. And then once I got it edited, I needed to add it to the website and modify the XML feed and modify the web pages and all this kind of stuff. Well, the bottom line, it was a huge pain in the butt. And so what does that mean? It means we just never did it. And there are actually a few podcasts that were recorded that we actually did not even end up putting out on the website just because I did not have the time to go through and edit all of that stuff. Well, we got great feedback from the podcasts themselves. I think people were definitely interested in the concept of us doing podcasts. What people did not like, though, was just the fact that we only did five of them and that was it. So we decided to start doing podcasts again. And this is something that I wanted to do podcasts and I wanted to kind of get back into it. But I realized we needed a better solution. So about 2 or 3 months ago, we started looking at other equipment and we kind of changed our philosophy a little bit. So in terms of what we want to do with the podcast, it's kind of the same thing. It's just that I actually bought some different equipment that now allows me to make the podcast sound good as they're being recorded. So as I'm saying this right now, I'm staring at a rack full of equipment, and this is going directly into the computer. As soon as I'm finished with this recording, I click pause, or I click stop, I upload that to the website, and within 2 or 3 minutes, it's ready for people to download. So there is no more waiting days and days with hours and hours of work to be done. Everything now is completely automatic. So that means for us, a podcast is as simple as having an idea, having an opinion, sitting down, clicking record, clicking stop, and getting that content put out there on the website. Well, that puts us in a very good place, because that means now we can decide what we want to do with these podcasts and sort of how we want to handle these. So the first thing we have to figure out, and this is something I think that I'm hoping that we sort of as an industry can kind of figure out together what we want to do with this. The first thing we have to figure out is how often we want to have podcasts. And there's, I guess, three different options we have here. And I want to just kind of talk through these real quick, and then we can kind of decide, I guess. So I'll talk about the options, and then I would encourage you to either post your comments, post your opinions into the comments area of the website under this podcast, or send me an email, which you can email me directly at brian@brianmadden.com. So anyway, the first question is how often we want to have podcasts. Three choices. The first thing is we could decide to have a podcast every single day. And we do this at a certain time. It can be, doesn't matter what time, 8 a.m. or noon or every night or whatever. But we have a podcast every single day, every single weekday, pretty much no matter what. And that way, as listeners, you can kind of get used to the fact, okay, we always know there will be something on this day. Well, the problem is I wonder what would happen if we have a particular day where there's not a lot of interesting content to talk about. Does that mean we have a podcast that's only 5 minutes long and is saying, hi, there's nothing going on today, so let's kill some time? I mean, that to me seems like we would have to sort of jeopardize the integrity of the show. And so I don't think it's really worth having a show just for the sake of having a show. Of course, I guess if we do our jobs properly, then we can always have content and there's always something to talk about. But I don't necessarily want to have a show just for the sake of having a show. Now, the other option we have is to have a regular schedule, but make it a more spaced out. So we have a regular schedule that is, let's say, you know, every Wednesday at 12 o'clock or every Thursday night or every Friday morning or whatever day we pick. We say, this is the podcast. And we kind of take all of our content from the entire week and put it all together in this one show for the 1 week or every 2 weeks or monthly or twice a week or whatever the case may be. So maybe that show is a longer show. Maybe it's an hour long and we have some talk about the industry, some reviews of press releases and news, some product reviews, some interviews, all sorts of stuff. But it's all that content together. Basically, the idea is, should we release the content as we think it up throughout the week, or should we do it as a weekly thing? The third option is we could have no fixed schedule and just have it random. So kind of like the way the articles are written now, maybe on some days we have three podcasts in one single day. Maybe on other days we have, I don't know, we go several days without any podcasts at all. So these are the choices that we have. And so I guess, as I said, I'm very curious. What we're going to do, here's our goal right now. For April, I'm going to try to do a podcast as often as I can. And I'm not necessarily going to commit to doing one every single day because, as I said, I'm not really sure if this industry can support a daily podcast. I just don't know if there is actually enough information out there to have something to talk about every single day. Of course, I mean, I'm working 8 hours a day, so I'm doing something. So I guess there's something going on at least out there, but maybe the stuff I'm doing is not necessarily worth talking about on a daily basis. So, but for April anyway, we're going to try to do as many of these shows as we can. And just kind of see where that goes. We're making the podcast easier for you to subscribe to. So now if you go to brianmadden.com/live, you'll see two buttons there, one to subscribe to the XML feed in whatever podcast software you want. And I've taken the time to create an iTunes compatible feed because, of course, iTunes is using a different RSS XML format than regular podcasts. But I have created the iTunes XML feed so you can subscribe to our show either via iTunes or via whatever software you want. You can also stream the show. We've got a little Flash player built into the webpage so you can stream the show live from the webpage itself, or you can download MP3s and put them onto whatever device you want. So we've got those upgrades in the back end. We've got the upgrades in hardware and software. So I think there's a lot of cool stuff we can be doing with these shows. And I guess really what that means now is the other thing we have to kind of think about is what we want to actually do with the shows themselves in terms of content. Now, I have a couple ideas and I'm just going to kind of throw these out there, but I'm really curious as to what your thoughts are for the content of the show itself. Well, the first thing I'm thinking about as far as content is we write technical articles on the website. And my technical articles and the ones I write are the ones other people write. So, you know, sometimes we put 3 or 4 articles in a week. Sometimes we go 2 weeks without writing any articles. It just kind of depends. But I'm thinking we can kind of do audio versions of our articles. So an article is typed in kind of very formatted and very specific, but I'd love to be able to kind of write about my comments or opinions. Like if I'm writing an editorial that's an article that's posted out on the website, I'd love to kind of have an audio version of that too. So if some vendor has a new product and I've got some ideas about it, I'd love to just kind of take a couple minutes and say, hey, here's the new product and here's our thoughts and here's kind of my opinion about what this product is and what this could potentially mean. So that's one first thing we can do with the podcast. The second thing, of course, I think, and I think this is probably one of the best things we can do with these, is interviews. And so there are a ton of people in this industry who I think would be very interesting people that we might want to interview. And this can be both from the business side of things and the technology side. So, of course, we have our Bryform event next week, and we have all sorts of people coming to that, and there are many technical people, very smart tech people. I think we'll for sure start interviewing these people on the show and just kind of talking to them about what are you working on this week and what kind of technology are you working with and what articles are you doing, what projects and what are your ideas and that sort of stuff. So I think we'll for sure at least try to have, let's say once a week, an interview with a different technical person. But there's also a lot of vendors that are out there, and these vendors are always releasing new products. And it's interesting because, you know, I don't know how many vendors exist in our server-based computing field. Let's say, 200. Well, it seems like I'm on all these folks' mailing lists. And so whenever they release a new product, they send me an email and say, hey, Brian, here's a press release. Check it out. We'd love to call you and give a briefing on the product or get your opinions or answer any questions or anything like that. And I call back some of these vendors. Sometimes I don't. It just depends on how busy I am and how interesting the product is and things like that. But what I was thinking is I think those would actually be really, really great candidates for podcasts. And so basically, if any vendor out there releases a product and says, hey, here's our product, we want to give you a briefing on this, or we want to talk to you about the future versions, I think we should just record all of those conversations. And so that way we as a community can hear about the products, we can hear about their views. What's interesting is when you record an interview, you find out real quick whether the person on the other end of the phone actually has any clue about what they're talking about or not. And so that to me is interesting because it's funny because some of the smallest, most strange products have the most brilliant people behind them, the most brilliant people who are making these products. And there's also some products that are written by other companies that are more mainstream products. And you're thinking, wow, I can't believe you guys wrote this because it seems like you can hardly, you know, do two things at once. So I think that's really interesting. And I think that's a great opportunity just to kind of get the stuff out there. Another thing that we can do with the podcasts is, I forgot what the other one was. We talk about vendors, talk about other people. Well, I don't know. There's a whole lot of different stuff we can do with the podcasts. And I guess, again, I'd love to hear your opinions, both for interview targets or technical targets or things we should do. You know, it'd be really, really cool, I think, to have like if anyone listens to Car Talk on NPR, I would love to have like a Citrix talk type show. So maybe people call in with their Citrix problems and we sort of talk about different solutions and bat things around and have 2 or 3 of us sitting here on our end and have some people on the phone. So I think this could be really, really fun stuff. The bottom line is these podcasts are just a lot of fun. And everyone who's come to my training classes or come to our events, you know that I like to talk. And so I think these podcasts are just a great extension of that. And so we're really, really, really looking forward to getting more podcasts and getting more stuff out there. So that's the podcasts. In my training classes, I say, so does anyone have any questions or thoughts or comments about any of that stuff so far? Of course, in this medium, it's not a real-time kind of thing. So I say, if you have any comments or questions, please post them into the website on the comments section of the website, and I will review that, and we will, of course, go from there. So second thing I wanted to talk about today, I kind of talked about a state of the industry. And with this state of the industry, I want to kind of just look at where things are and where I think the industry is going. And now I have there's a presentation that I give, I guess we call it a stump speech or whatever, about the future of Citrix and future of Terminal Server and all this sort of stuff. And I think that's a really good conversation and definitely something that is worth recording and worth making into a show. So I'll definitely talk about that in the next little while. But I kind of want to look at the sort of the state of the industry and where things are right now. And I guess when I say the industry, I'm talking about Windows server-based computing. So that means Citrix in 99.9% of all cases. So of course, Citrix right now, today, has Presentation Server version 4. We know they're working on a new version of Presentation Server, and in fact, a new version of the entire Access Suite that will be coming out. Well, we don't know for sure when that's coming out. It's looking like that's going to be later in 2006. So, of course, Microsoft is working on their Longhorn Terminal Server product. Now, the Vista operating system, which is the Longhorn desktop OS, is on the calendar for January 2007. So Vista is still almost a year away. And of course, the Longhorn server operating system is probably about a year behind that. So Longhorn server, we're looking at in about the 2008 timeframe. Now, Longhorn server is where Microsoft is going to add published applications and seamless windows and a web interface and an RDP gateway and a unified management console and all sorts of other functions to the pure terminal server product. And that's where people always think, okay, so what's the deal with Citrix then? If Microsoft is adding all of these products into the terminal server product, what does that mean for Citrix? Well, it means a couple things. First of all, keep in mind that Longhorn is not real yet. So Longhorn will be released at some point, and obviously, but that's looking more like it's going to be the 2008 timeframe. So right off the bat, we've got a couple years left where we need to use a Citrix or a third-party product in order to deal with server-based computing in today's world. Now, what is Citrix going to do when Microsoft does release Longhorn? Well, of course, they've got 2 years to kind of work on their products and kind of make their products better. But there's a couple things. First, I'll talk about what they're doing today, and then we can talk about what they're doing in the future. So today, what Citrix has is, first of all, you know, Longhorn is adding some basic server-based computing features like the seamless windows and like the published applications. But really what Citrix does is kind of beyond that. You know, Citrix, I mean, one of the greatest things about Citrix is their smart access and more specifically their advanced access control. You know, advanced access control, I mean, this is really, really cool stuff that no one else in the industry can do. I mean, no one else in the server-based computing industry, no one in the security industry, no one in the networking industry. You know, what Citrix does with smart access, I mean, they actually have the ability to figure out the metrics of your client device, do endpoint analytics scans to find out if your client device is inside the firewall or outside the firewall, or, you know, did you two-factor authenticate, or is it a domain device or whatever. And then based on the scan, they can enable or disable not just access to the network, but they can enable or disable specific functionality within specific published applications. And that is huge. You know, people like Cisco and Symantec and even Microsoft and Longhorn will have this network access protection. It's pretty easy right now for an SSL VPN to scan your client device and then give you access to different network resources based on whether you pass the scan or not. But the key is that those are network layer type devices. So your standard SSL VPN can give you access to a specific IP range or ports or whatever based on what scans. So if you two-factor authenticate, you can access this IP address. If you do not, you can't. That's fine. But what's interesting is that's all done at the network level. What Citrix is doing with their SSL VPN, which is their Citrix Access Gateway, well, yeah, in some levels, their Citrix Access Gateway is just another SSL VPN, just like anything else that's out there. But what makes it really, really different and really special is the fact that it ties so tightly into Presentation Server. So yeah, your Citrix Access Gateway SSL VPN is going to do endpoint scans to figure out the way that your client device is working and whether you're inside or outside or, as I said, virus software is running or all this kind of stuff. But then what it does with that, it does not let you have access to certain IPs or ports, or I should say it's not limited only to that. Of course, it can do that. But it can actually provide access to your Citrix server, but then the Citrix server can talk to the gateway to find out how you were classified when you connected, and it can actually turn on and off specific printers, specific virtual channels, all sorts of specific stuff. So for instance, you can actually configure Citrix today so that if I have a client device and I'm running antivirus software, I can use any published application I want, And when I connect to that published application, I can have access to my local hard drives and clipboard and all sorts of stuff. Whereas if I have the same client device but no antivirus software running, then I can still use my same published application, but I cannot cut and paste from it. I have no local client drive access. It's the same application. So I'm not limiting this based on port and IP address. It's the same port, same IP. It's just that the Citrix server is intelligently communicating with the access gateway, and they are working together to ensure that I have the right amount of access. And that is absolutely huge, because Microsoft, Cisco, Symantec, all these other security and appliance and SSL VPN vendors have solutions where they can scan your client device and give you access based on the network level, IPs and ports and that kind of stuff. And of course, there are other third-party products like Citrix. I mean, Citrix has Presentation Server. There's products from Provision, 2X, Jetro Platforms, Ericom, ThinWorks, ProPalms, all sorts of companies out there that make add-on products to terminal servers that give you, again, the seamless windows and the web interface and all this kind of stuff. Well, the thing is, none of those companies tie into the other SSL VPNs that are out there. So where Citrix really has it today is the integration of the client endpoint analytics into the SSL VPN. And so, and then into their presentation server product. And so that's what makes Citrix really, really interesting today, and quite frankly, unique, and more unique than anyone else who's out there in the industry. So that's kind of where they are today. Of course, I would imagine that we'll see these smaller vendors, again, the Ericom, ProPalm, Jetro Platforms, ThinWorks. I would imagine we'll see all of these kind of vendors in the future partnering up with other commercial SSL VPNs. And I would imagine we'll see them sort of offering the same type of solution and same type of stuff that Citrix offers today. And they've got a couple of years to do this, because the thing is, you know, I think that when Microsoft releases Longhorn, that's going to be fine for Citrix. I don't see any problem with Citrix. I don't see it cutting into their business. I don't see that affecting Citrix really at all. I think what's going to happen, though, where it could potentially affect, it could affect these other companies, because Citrix has so much more than the features that are in Longhorn. If you look at Citrix today, it's not really you're buying it because of these features that Microsoft is adding into Longhorn. If that's the only reason you bought Citrix, then no one would buy Citrix because it's so freaking expensive. I mean, if all you needed was seamless Windows and published applications and web interface, that's where you're going to go to these ProPalms and Jetro Platforms and Ericom and all these other ones I've been talking about. Well, people are going to Citrix because they've got CPU management and sort of application load management and memory optimization management and application isolation and virtual IPs and smart access and advanced access control and EMF printing and just, you know, the policies and all this kind of stuff that they have that are kind of sitting on top of what other people are offering. So even when Microsoft brings out the Longhorn terminal server, you know, I think Citrix is doing enough on top of that it's not going to affect them too much. But of course, like I said, Longhorn server is still 2 years away. So why don't these other little companies combine themselves with SSL VPN vendors to make an SSL VPN solution that is as good as what Citrix is offering? And that's certainly possible and certainly something they could do. Of course, Citrix is not resting on their laurels and waiting for everything to happen. Citrix is working also. Citrix has something called Project Constellation. And I actually talked to Sumit Dhawan, who's a program manager from Citrix for the presentation server product. I talked to him in a podcast that I formed last October, talked to him about Project Constellation. And I can tell you also, he is going to be giving a preview of Project Constellation at BriForum next week. But Project Constellation, in a nutshell, is a set of future technologies. And this kind of shows Citrix's mindset about the future and about where they are going and sort of what they view themselves looking like when Microsoft releases the Longhorn edition of Terminal Server. So Project Constellation from Citrix, it's really about adding more smarts into their product. So they're making things like autonomous load balancing, where it can actually be smart to look at not just what the load is right now on the servers before it load balances a user, but to look at who that user is and figure out how much sort of power that user might need and then give them the appropriate server. It's also looking at sort of end-to-end health monitoring and end-to-end experience monitoring, so and sort of application performance monitoring. So we're actually looking at the user experience instead of looking at just server metrics. Because anyone, it's kind of funny. I was actually down in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, meeting with Kevin Goodman. Kevin Goodman's the CEO and founder of RTO Software. And Kevin and I are actually working together on a presentation for Briform. We are giving a presentation that is it's called the excruciating detail of the Citrix logon process. And so we made this huge flowchart. It's about 2 feet by 3 feet in Visio. And it's got, I don't know, hundreds of boxes in it that detail the exact excruciating step-by-step detail of everything that happens on a Citrix server whenever you log in. And so we're going to be releasing that chart. We'll make an image of that available on the website so you guys can download it if you're not actually attending Briform. But anyway, so I flew down to Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and I talked to Kevin Goodman, and we were just talking about kind of different monitoring solutions and all this kind of stuff, and he gave me the term YAM. So YAM stands for Yet Another Monitor. And so what's interesting is that with Citrix, with the Project Constellation, they're trying to not be YAM, because there are a lot of tools out there that monitor the performance of your servers, but they do so by just looking at server performance counter objects, the performance metrics. Well, I mean, any interim programmer can make a product that just looks at performance metrics and sets alerts and changes colors and all this kind of stuff. This would be the YAM. So anyone can make YAM, yet another monitor. But what Citrix wants to do in the next few years is they want to build some intelligence into their products. So instead of being YAM, they can actually look at sort of trends and have some artificial intelligence and figure out, is the server performing as it should? Now, I think this is something we've talked about before, but you know, Citrix is not, or should I say Project Constellation, this is not a product from Citrix. This is a code name for a set of future technologies that they are looking at for how they will continue to evolve their presentation server product, even as Microsoft and others release other things. So anyway, so where we are today, I think so Citrix is kind of leading the pack of server-based computing with sort of the most functionality. There's all these other Jetro platforms, 2x, Aracom, ThinWorks, Graphon, Provision, ProPalms, products that are sort of Citrix-like, that are smaller, less expensive, but also not as popular. And then, of course, there is Terminal Server. And so I think once Terminal Server is finally released, Longhorn Terminal Server is released in 2008, we're going to see some scrambling from these other products besides Citrix, but I think Citrix is okay. But all of that we just talked about, that's all just in the presentation server space. And of course, Citrix is expanding beyond a presentation server and getting into virtualization. Actually, I take that back. Virtualization is what they're calling presentation server now. They're getting into streaming, application streaming, and you know, looking at web applications and all that kind of stuff. But really, that's a conversation for another show. So that's something we're going to talk about later. But I think that's kind of a quick overview of where we think everything is right now. And I guess the final thing I want to look at for today's show is I want to talk about Briform. Wow. So, gosh, I guess first of all, everyone knows about Briform. Briform is our independent technical conference about Citrix and Windows server-based computing. So the first Briform was last year. It was in Washington, D.C. It was last April. And we had about 250 people that attended that. This year's show, we're looking at, this year's show is next Monday. I mean, it's a week from today. And it's also in Washington, D.C. We're looking at about 300 people for this. And the deal with Briform is this. So Briform is a conference. It's a technical conference, but it's a conference by geeks for geeks. So it's not sponsored by any one vendor. It's not a bunch of vendor propaganda or all that kind of stuff. At Briform, we created a completely independent conference where all of the sessions are technical. So Briform, there's not different tracks like business versus marketing versus whatever. All of the tracks at Briform, all the sessions are technical. We actually have 63 technical sessions at Briform this year. 63 sessions. It's 3 days. We have four rooms, four breakout rooms in this space that we rented. And we are, so with our 63 sessions, all technical, from security to printing to advanced access control, 64-bit, multi-language, Sarbanes-Oxley, virtualization, there's just so much stuff. I think our final presenter count, I think we've got 28 presenters. And I don't have the stats right here in front of me, but it's something like 8 MVPs, 5 book authors, just ton of people from the website. All these names you recognize. Ron Oglesby and Douglas Brown, Rick Dellinger, Jeff Pitch, Thomas Kutzing, Stefan Vermeulen, Rick Max coming over, Jeroen Vendekamp, all sorts of people, all these big names that you'd recognize from being out there. We're all getting together at Bri Forum. And so one of the things we're going to be doing at Bri Forum is I'm taking all of this podcasting equipment with me down there. And so first of all, we'll be doing a daily podcast first thing in the morning that will be recorded between around 7 and 8 o'clock a.m. So that should actually be out on the website by, let's say, around 8:30 each morning or so, between 8:30 and 9, depending on the day. And so we'll have that. We'll talk about the stuff that's happening at the show. And we're also going to take that opportunity to make lots and lots of interviews and to have people to talk to. I mean, we have all these experts in one place, so we're going to make use of that. So we're going to talk to the experts, talk to the different people who are there, talk to attendees, talk to different people, and just get all that information out there and really share it. So I guess my desire, of course, is for everyone listening for this to actually attend Bri Forum. But if you're not able to attend Bri Forum, you can at least tune into the podcast and kind of get the scoop as far as what's going on. So we're going to talk about, with our wrap-up shows, kind of what the big news of the day was and the cool stuff we learned. And as the weeks and months go by, you know, more and more of this information will get out there and will be released. But we're really going to try to do like a daily wrap-up show of every day at Bri Forum. So we'll certainly talk more about that this week, but I think this is stuff that's really... It's cool stuff. I'm Bri Forum. It's a super fun event. As I said, we'll talk more about this in the next couple of days, but it's really exciting for us. It's a totally fun, totally casual conference. As some people know, I have been known to dye my hair bright Muppet-looking colors, and so I will promise we'll have another bright hair color for the event to kind of be in the festive spirit, but it's going to be a really, really great event. So anyway, I think that's about, we've been talking about a half an hour now. That's about all I wanted to say for today, but I really appreciate everyone taking the time and listening. Please send me your feedback. Let me know what you want for these podcasts. Let me know what you are hoping to get out of the podcast, what you like, what you don't like, and we will go ahead and get the stuff done. So that's all I have. Today's show was copyright 2006 by the Brian Bedden Company. The music is by The Bots. You can download this and other free music for podcasts at magnatunes.com.